It's a mid-January evening, the doldrums of the school year. At Mary McLeod Bethune Elementary in North Philadelphia, basketball practice has just ended, and coach Shakur Henderson tries to clear the gym.
Yo, time to go home. Let's go.
Every few steps, a new crowd of kids circle around him.
I'll be putting announcements in there, obviously.
After indulging each group, Shakur signs off as he always does, with love.
All right, I love y'all.
Winding through the school's hallways with Shakur Henderson is like riding shotgun with the Pied Piper.
What's up? Let's take a picture. You gonna put that filter back on me?
Nike strapped to his feet, tattoos down his arms, Shakur Henderson is that teacher. He's young, he's cool, he's got it.
I mean, he's the most comfortable teacher I've been with, like, my whole life.
Years or so. Right. And he cares about us. It's not just about math. He personally, like, cares about us, making sure that we're okay, making sure that we're happy in life.
Shakur has just turned 27 and is midway through his second year teaching. And he isn't just a popular teacher. He's a good one. In Shakur's first year as a 7th grade math teacher, his students blew past expectations on state tests. Here's his principal, Aaliyah Katanch Bradley.
I believe that some people are naturally gifted and called to this work, and I think that he's one of them.
And he's among the 2% of all public school teachers who are Black men. And that's significant because there's evidence that Black teachers are especially good at teaching Black male children. Everyone wants to find the next Shakur Henderson. Only one problem. At the moment, this Shakur Henderson is on the brink of being pushed out of public education. And the problem isn't burnout or low pay. It's a bureaucratic hurdle, but it could keep him out of a job that needs more people exactly like him.
They want me around. I want to be around. I want to teach. This is like my thing, like for real.
To understand how Shakur reached this crossroads, you need to know a lot more about him. Really, you need to know his life story. This is Schooled. I'm Kevin McCrory, and in this episode, the life of Shakur Henderson. It's a story of a long, rocky, uphill path. True hero's journey stuff. There's escape, but also a return to grace with new knowledge. And it gets to the heart of why there are so few Black male teachers in America, which has a lot to do with the lived experience of many Black men in America. Reporter Avi Wolfman-Arendt picks it up from here.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah!
Today, I'm going to be reading...
In late 2019, I found myself at Bethune Elementary School in North Philadelphia for a press event featuring Tobias Harris, a star basketball player for the Philadelphia 76ers.
By the way, my name is Tobias Harris. You don't like that name?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to call my mom and tell you guys.
When an issue reaches basketball player levels of interest, you know it's got some legs. And Tobias Harris was here to talk about the importance of hiring more Black male educators and to read a book to a group of kids.
Oh no! Pete stepping in a large pile of...
Strawberries!
What color did it turn his
Red.
Shoes?
Red!
You sure?
Yeah!
In the 6 years I've reported on education, few of the major issues have changed. This one is the exception. When I started this beat, I can't recall many people talking about the lack of Black male teachers. Now, it's a topic on the lips of superintendents, secretaries of education, and basketball players.
Today, we're here, and I'm here launching the Tobias Top Teachers. And I look to advocate for each of you by providing more resources and recruitment for more Black teachers in education, not just in the city of Philadelphia, but also around the world eventually. So, today is the start of that, and I'm happy to be here with all of you. And for you guys' hard work, I want to personally invite you guys to come out, hang with me in the future.
Having an NBA star highlight an issue is one thing. Driving real change is another. That starts with really understanding and working to address the barriers to the profession. And standing on the edge of this press event, watching it all unfold, was a person with that intimate knowledge. Someone who had lived through barrier after barrier and was still facing one. Shakur Henderson.
I've lived an interesting life. So for me, being a teacher was like not really in the cards for me, honestly. I wasn't the...
Were you not a model student?
I was not.
As the crowd and the cameras swirled around us, Shakur began to talk about his life. He talked about all the reasons he wasn't supposed to be here. And then he talked about the reasons he was. His mom, his dad, and another black teacher, a guy named Mr. Taylor, who helped him at a key moment in his life.
He was like, you mess up. Change. I'm here if you need me, but you gotta change. That's a different type of love that you get. And that's a different type of love that, as a black male, I needed.
A different type of love. That single phrase captured so much of what got Shakur here, to this school in North Philadelphia, when the odds seemed to favor a far different outcome. Shakur Henderson has two homes, North Philadelphia and North Central Pennsylvania. Williamsport, Pennsylvania, to be precise.
And this is the prison.
Shakur's mom, Joanne, rode me around town.
There is a joke or a theory about Williamsport. They say, I went to Williamsport for vacation and ended up on probation.
Joanne is a phenomenal tour guide. She works at the County Visitor Center, so she knows the history of this once-gilded logging town. And even if she didn't know the history, it would be worth it just to hear her commentary on other drivers.
Well, she better bring her little Humpty Humpty on. Talking on the damn phone.
I don't think so.
But guess what? And she ain't never looked this way. You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking
Joanne
about.
Joanne is a force. One of those people who seems totally in command. So when you meet her, it's really hard to imagine the version of Joanne that showed up in this town of about 30,000 on August 3rd, 1988.
You know, I was in that lowly place of helplessness, powerlessness, ready to give up. You know, I just wanted to give up. I just didn't even want to be here anymore.
Joanne is from Philadelphia, and she had a stable, happy upbringing with two loving parents. Life was good. That is, until both of her parents died 4 months apart in the early 1980s. And for years after that, drugs became her escape.
You know, I felt abandoned. I felt all these other feelings with losing them and not having anybody, at least in my mind's eye. There was nobody there. I had nobody.
By the summer of 1988, she and her first husband had three kids. They both had been dealing with addiction, so the husband went to Williamsport looking for change and insisted that she join him. She thought it would be for maybe 2 weeks, but something happened the moment she arrived.
Seeing the nice, crisp mountains, and it just looked like the land of milk and honey. And sometimes you have to remove yourself from your environment in order to get a new perspective.
Williamsport is the last major town before northern Pennsylvania opens up into miles of wilderness. And around that time, lots of drug recovery programs were opening shop there, promising refuge for people fleeing big cities plagued by the crack cocaine epidemic. Joanne ended up divorcing her first husband, and then through the recovery community, she met a Navy veteran named Tony Henderson. He was also from Philly and in Williamsport for the same reasons. They married, blended their families, and had three more children together. The last, the baby, was Shakur, born in December of 1992.
As a little kid, what was his personality?
He was very, and I'm going to tell you, I tried to be one of those parents who never used negative words. So that became, he was challenging, spirited. What other kind of words? Those were mainly the ones we use. Complicated, misunderstood.
And in school, that led to trouble. Shakur's first school memory goes all the way back to pre-K. He's standing at the top of a big metal slide, and behind him is a large and impatient classmate.
She kept trying to tell me to go down the slide. I didn't want to go down the slide, so she backed up and like bull rushed me. I was holding on to the slide. Pushed me down the slide, hit my face, blood gushing everywhere. Lost my eyebrow, or half of it, had to get stitches.
The follow-up question here is obvious. Why didn't you just go down the slide?
Because she was telling me to.
Out of stubbornness.
Out of rebelliousness.
So she's like, go down the slide, go down the
slide.
And
I'm like, no, I'm going to go down when I want to. Just because, even though I want to, I'm not going to go down right now because you want me to. I'm going to go on my own time.
The rest of Shakur Henderson's educational career, and his life, really, has been a variation on this first school memory. But Shakur was also lucky in a lot of ways. His mom was a relentless advocate, urging teachers to give him more work so he wouldn't finish early and start making trouble. His dad, Tony, instilled a strong sense of pride and self-worth. Over the summer, Shakur's parents would make him and his siblings do book reports on Black historical figures.
Because they were not getting that information in school.
At the time, Williamsport was around 90% white. You could take race out of the equation, and Shakur still would have been a smart kid with an authority problem. Not always the best combination. But on top of that, Shakur was a headstrong, self-possessed Black kid in Williamsport.
A bad child from Philly whose mother and father is on drugs. And it's like, that's why I always got labeled bad, because I wasn't, maybe I didn't act like everybody else, but on top of that, I was Black, not acting like everybody else.
People thought of Shakur as a bad kid, and sometimes Shakur gave them good reason. As early as middle school, he started to sell drugs.
I'll just buy like little weed and sell it to people.
Joanne saw it all, and she was not the type of mom to sit back and trust that it would all work out.
You know, the guys he hung out with, they aspired to be thugs, okay? Because he didn't really know anything about thug life. We had left that lifestyle.
And she was going to take any chance she could to keep her son from slipping into it. In ninth grade, Shakur had his most serious run-in yet with the law. He was driving a stolen car and led police on a chase. That landed Shakur on probation, which he violated in 11th grade by getting into a fight. The probation officer wanted to send Shakur to juvenile detention, but the judge would only do it if his parents signed off.
So in my head, I'm like, I'm going home. This is like, I'm good.
The judge asks Tony, his dad. Tony says no.
Because where I came from, North Philly and all my friends been locked up, and my mentality was, being Black, eventually I'm going to have to get locked up. Eventually I'm going to get locked up, and I have to do that. So I didn't want my son to feel that way, and I didn't want him to even start that.
Then the judge turns and asks Joanne.
And it was like, you know, well, we can do this, and he can go to this day treatment program and come back. And I said, no, I'm a parent. I'm going to do what's necessary in my mind's eye and what I believe is going to help save my child.
Tony and Joanne remember arguing in front of the judge. They were trying to decide in real time whether their teenage son would go home with them or to a juvenile detention center for 6 months. And the judge sided with Joanne.
It was like shock. I felt betrayed. Like all of these things, because in that moment, I'm like, how could you?
He swears, and still to this day, Mom, you know, you had me locked up. Okay. Yeah, I had him locked up.
Joanne felt, and still feels, that it was the only thing that could have changed Shakur's trajectory. Her husband, Tony, felt, and still feels, it was a mistake.
Listen, she's an African-American woman. I'm an African-American man. I still feel like, I don't want to create a situation where you become all right with being locked up. Do you understand? And she looked at it like, I'm saving your life, and it may have.
About 20 years after she'd arrived in Williamsport to escape Philadelphia, Joanne sent her youngest son away from Williamsport, hoping it would inspire the same kind of change.
Because this had turned into that hellhole for him. Because he was involved in a lot of negativity in this town.
Shakur's 6 months at a juvenile detention center in southern Pennsylvania probably deserves its own story.
It was hell.
He describes a place where psychological and sometimes physical tactics were used to break defiant kids like him.
That environment was very traumatizing because it's like, I'm not dumb. I understand the logic behind it. You know what I mean? But at the same time, these are kids. I was a child.
We talked about this at length, and still, it's hard to parse how Shakur feels about his time in detention. He seems stuck somewhere between saying the experience changed him and being reluctant to give it or them that power.
They've caused more resentment than resilience. But that being said, they did change my perspective on things. And it was mostly because of the craziness. I'm like, I never want to be in a position where somebody's controlling me.
Coming up, we have more from reporter Avi Wolfman-Aaron on Shakur Henderson's long journey to becoming one of the relatively few black male educators in the U.S., a path that includes a rocky college experience.
I pulled up in front of like Coleman Hall with a trash bag full of clothes, no book bag, a gun in my trash bag. Like, in no way was I thinking about school.
First, a short break.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Welcome back to Schooled. We're continuing the story of Shakur Henderson and looking at what his life tells us about the push to increase the ranks of black men in the teaching profession. Reporter Avi Wolfman-Aaron picks it back up.
The detention facility where Shakur lived was on top of a mountain, and it felt like exile.
When you're there by yourself. It's you. Only you can get you through that. And I'm thinking of everybody while I'm doing whatever it is I'm doing there. And I'm wondering, are they thinking about me?
In a lot of cases, the answer was no. Shakur wrote many unanswered letters during his time in lockup.
And the only person out of all my teachers, out of all the coaches I had, only person that would even return a letter, handwritten letter, was my math teacher, Mr. Taylor, who was also my basketball coach.
Shakur said that this Mr. Taylor, Coach Taylor, was the only black male teacher he remembers having in school.
He took the time out to write me. And it wasn't like a, he's very honest, let's say that. So what he did not do was say like, you know, try to give me a pity party. It was like, you messed up, change.
The contents of this fateful letter are lost to time. We tried to track it down when I visited Shakur's family. It seems to have vanished in a spring cleanout. But the man who wrote it, Alan Taylor, is still in Williamsport. And Taylor is still the boys' basketball coach at Williamsport Area High School, the same place where he played and starred during the program's heyday in the 1980s. Alan Taylor and Shakur Henderson landed in Williamsport for the same reason, recovery. Alan was born in Wilmington, Delaware, but moved to Williamsport with his mom as she struggled to overcome addiction.
A lot of changes, you know, that you go through, but you don't realize it as a kid, you know, like what's going on, but you're just going through it.
There were times as early as middle school when Alan essentially lived by himself and took himself to school. Like Shakur, he became a small-time drug dealer in his teens.
He was headed down the same road I was. And my concern was, look, man, you're going to continue to do, you know, X, Y, and Z, and at some point you're going to pay a price. And it's going to be a heavy price.
Alan actually knew Shakur's parents, Joanne and Tony, through the Williamsport drug recovery community. They were old friends of his mom's. And often, when Shakur was growing up, Alan would stop by their house and play chess with Tony on the porch. Alan Taylor knew what Williamsport was like for a young black kid and a child of recovery. He knew where Shakur had come from, and he knew where Shakur was going.
Words do matter. Like, as adults, man, we can speak life or death. Or as people, we can speak life or death. Had I told the young man that, you know, you ain't and you'll never be, you know what I mean? That's what that kid's gonna believe. You know, I'm just thankful, man, that, you know, that's not what I did.
It gave me that, like, there is life after this. I can still go back and I can change some things. Those letters meant everything, everything.
We shouldn't oversimplify. Alan Taylor was not the only teacher to encourage Shakur as a kid. But as a family friend, as a black man, as a person who'd lived a parallel life, his words penetrated when others couldn't.
Those letters meant everything, everything, everything.
It would also be an oversimplification to describe this letter as a magic inflection point. Shakur made it clear to me that it wasn't. These were his exact words when we first met.
It didn't just instantly change me, you know.
And it took a while for me to understand exactly what he meant by that. Shakur returned to Williamsport, finished high school, and earned a place at Clarion University in Western Pennsylvania through a kind of second chance program.
So I knew I had to change my narrative. And for me, changing my narrative was going to college. That was my thing. That was the one thing. It was like, you can't call me like this jail kid or this street kid or anything like that if I'm in college.
But Shakur was pulled between these competing visions of himself for years. And college was yet another whirlwind. It would span 7 years, four schools, and several life-altering pivots. He left Clarion after one semester and transferred to Lock Haven University near Williamsport, but it was too close to home and too close to trouble. In 2012, a year after Shakur graduated high school, authorities accused him and his older brother of several felonies tied to a drug robbery.
And the first deal they came to me and my brother with was, all right, you could plead out with a 10 to 20. And I'm like, 10 to 20, what? What do you think? 10 minutes? What are we talking about here?
The answer, of course, was years. 10 to 20 years. Shakur and his brother said that it was a case of mistaken identity. After a key witness recanted, authorities countered with a plea deal for 6 months. When they were charged, Shakur's brother had already been on probation, so he was put in prison without option of bail while the court case was being worked out. By the time this new deal was offered, his brother had essentially already served the time.
So he was like, yo, I might take it and come on. I'm like, no, because if you admit to it, that means I did it too, and we ain't do it.
Yet again, Shakur's fate, his freedom, sat in the hands of a family member. But this time he won the argument. His brother rejected the deal, and authorities eventually dropped all charges. While all this happened, college drifted further and further from his brain. Shakur transferred from Lock Haven University to another state school further away, Bloomsburg. It was a chance to clear himself from the hang-ups of his hometown. But his hometown had other ideas. On the night of January 9th, 2013, Shakur called up his cousin Terrell.
I called him at 5 o'clock on the dot, because we were supposed to go out later that night, chill some girls or whatever.
That wasn't unusual. Shakur and Terrell were incredibly close. They were planning to go to Bloomsburg together that semester, just a few weeks away. But it was a little unusual when Terrell didn't pick up.
And I called his phone. It rang 3 times.
Half an hour later, actually 29 minutes later, according to Shakur, he got a call from his brother.
Crying and screaming, yo, they just killed Rob.
2 men had executed Terrell during a botched drug deal. Shakur later told me that his habit for telling students he loved them after seemingly every conversation.
All right, I love y'all.
It stemmed from this loss and that unanswered call from Terrell.
I never got a chance to tell him I loved him. Now, I know he knows that, right? I know that. But it hurt me so much that I never got the chance to say it.
Before all of this, Shakur's life already felt crazy. After Terrell's death, just as he was set to attend his 3rd college in less than 2 years, the chaos and the fear reached a screeching crescendo.
The environment I was in at the time was so, it was so dangerous, man. Like me, like we went, I went to the funeral with a gun, like, cause somebody might have tried something while they had all of us there. Like, that's the mindset I was in.
History seemed to be repeating itself. The cycle that his mom was trying to break, drugs, violence, tragedy, was breaking him. And there seemed to be nowhere to turn. In the wake of Terrell's murder, his parents wanted him out of Williamsport before anything else could happen. So without his cousin by his side, Shakur headed to Bloomsburg University, full of grief and rage.
I pulled up in front of Lycoming Hall with a trash bag full of clothes, no book bag, a gun in my trash bag. Like, in no way was I thinking about school.
His grades were a disaster. He buried his sorrow under a veil of drinking and partying, self-medication to numb the pain. Shakur failed out of Bloomsburg, and at this point, it felt like that positive vision of his life was slipping away.
I'm never going back to college. I'm never going back to school. I know exactly what I'm going to do. And I was like, I'm going to work hard. I'm going to get me a job. And then I couldn't get a job for like 2 months. And I was like, I know what I am good at, though. And that's when I, went backwards.
Back into dealing. Street life. In 2015, Shakur did go to Lincoln University near Philadelphia for a semester, but he was quickly expelled for having a gun on campus. Shakur had hit rock bottom. He was 22 years old, and his dreams felt too distant to chase. He hoped only at this point to settle his life down, go back to Williamsport, avoid the streets, and get a day job.
I get a job as a clinical technician at a rehab center. So the same people I was serving in the streets, I'm now servicing in a whole different fashion.
As fate would have it, Alan Taylor's mom had once been a patient at the same rehab center. And so had Shakur's dad. Shakur liked the job, but the pay was not great. And after one especially disappointing paycheck, he started complaining to an older coworker.
She was like, yo, shut the fuck up. She like, yo, you're young. If you don't like this, shut up, go back to school, and change it. Like, if you're not going to do that, stop complaining.
She sounded a little like that girl on the slide in preschool. Just go down already. Just do the damn thing. Shakur had gotten that message before from a lot of well-meaning people. But somehow this time it slipped through. Whether by divine intervention or pure coincidence, Shakur says it was this nurse at his dad's old rehab center that convinced him to give school a final try.
This is my out. This is my opportunity. This is it. Like, I just gotta walk out on faith and trust myself and just trust that I got this.
This time he was older, more mature, ready. He returned to Bloomsburg, and in the spring of 2018, he graduated with a dual degree in history and philosophy. So, why detail the low points of a young man's life many years before he became a teacher? Because Shakur will tell you they are all bound up in what makes him better at teaching the children at his majority black school in North Philadelphia.
You can sympathize with those kids, but you can't empathize with them. I can empathize with them and sympathize. It's a different experience being black in America. Like, just period, it is.
While the details of Shakur's life are unique to him, they are undeniably reflective of what many black men in this country experience. And they shed light on why so few black men are even eligible to teach. For instance, if Shakur Henderson had been convicted of the felony robbery he was accused of at age 19, he would not be a teacher in Pennsylvania right now. 1/3 of African American men have a felony conviction, according to research from the University of Georgia. And if the shooting death of Shakur's cousin had permanently derailed his college dreams, he would not be a teacher in Pennsylvania right now. A survey from Pew found that 57% of black Americans know someone who has been shot, by far the highest rate among any racial subgroup. If Shakur's time in juvenile detention had led to a life of recidivism, he would not be a teacher in Pennsylvania right now. Government data show that black people released from prison are the most likely to be rearrested within 9 years. Shakur made bad decisions in his life. For years, he ignored advice and guidance from his family and teachers, people who were in his corner and never gave up on him. You cannot tell this story and take away his agency both for what went wrong and what went right. He wouldn't want it that way. But if you want to know why black males make up just 2% of the teaching force in this country, these larger trends are impossible to ignore. A teacher must have at least a bachelor's degree. And just 14% of black men in this country have that credential. That's less than half the national average, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Add it all up, and it's not hard to see that the odds are against the existence of black male teachers.
My cousin being killed, going into depression, all of those things packed into me not caring anymore. And getting back into the streets and doing dumb stuff, right? Like, that's very true. Like, it'll make you be like, man, forget this. The system's against me, whatever, and forget it. And I'm just happy I made it out the other side of this thing. That's why I say, like, I made it.
It was another black male teacher, a friend of Shakur's sister, that convinced him to apply for a position in the school district of Philadelphia. He landed at Bethune Elementary, a school that focuses on hiring black teachers. It's just a short drive from the North Philly block where his dad grew up and where Shakur spent summers as a kid.
For me, Philly is opportunity. That same environment is where my mom and my father saw, like, destruction and pain. So it's traumatizing for them. So Williamsport is their safe haven. Williamsport is their refuge, like their escape. And it's the same thing for me. Philly is my escape.
All right, so.
Now back to where we began, midway through Shakur's second year as a teacher. And it didn't take a genius to see what made him good in the classroom. He worked hard, he had a commanding presence, and he mixed it with some of that young teacher relatability.
Parentheses, remember, associate property, just like associates, right? Associate, like, we cool, but you're not my best, you're not my bro.
In January 2020, I was sitting with Shakur in a classroom at Bethune, and he had this serenity about him. So I asked,
honestly, do you feel like this is it? I'm good. I made it through. I'm good. It's going to be good.
Nah. That's not how life is. An obstacle is coming. Well, I have an obstacle now, actually.
In the state's eyes, Shakur was underqualified to teach. Because he hadn't studied education as an undergrad, Shakur needed a year-to-year emergency certification to stay in the classroom. And by the end of his second year, he was on the verge of losing it.
I won't be able to teach next year.
In Pennsylvania, a person in Shakur's position has to prove that they're working toward a full teacher's license, which means
I have to take graduate credits to be able to teach next year. And I can't get into a graduate program.
The issue was his checkered academic past. Shakur's college GPA was well below a 3.0, a relic of classes failed 4, 5, even 6 years ago. Unfortunately for Shakur, that overshadowed his actual success in the classroom, which was irrelevant in the licensure process. To the powers that be, Shakur's triumphs today mattered less than his failures as a young man, and the red tape looked to be on the verge of keeping him out of the profession.
None of my teaching actually matters when it comes to me teaching next year. None of it.
Barriers to entry like this help professionalize a field, but they're also barriers, which means they might deter people who would be great teachers. The profession got lucky with Shakur. Years of licensing limbo seemed not to faze him. He was determined to be a teacher, one of the few black men to make this job his life.
What is that thing that you stick out with? What makes you you? And this is it for me now.
Shakur was 27 years old at the time of this conversation, mid-March 2020. The next day, Philadelphia decided to close its public school buildings to prevent the spread of the novel coronavirus. COVID upended everything, including the teacher certification process. The state allowed teachers like Shakur to re-up their emergency certifications, and in the meantime, he was finally able to get into a local graduate school and start accumulating credits. Over the next year, Shakur and I stayed in touch. A lot changed, but in a subtle, cumulative way, where you can only appreciate it once you fast forward to the end and look back.
This is it, huh?
Yes, let me give you the grand tour of my humble abode.
In May, I visited Shakur in Delaware County, a little beyond the city limits. Shakur and his girlfriend had just begun dating when we met back in 2019. Now they owned a brick row home together, complete with a tidy front yard where Shakur keeps his smoker, and a little office where he can take his online courses.
There it is. It's surreal. 4 years ago, I was struggling to stay in college and truthfully toying with the idea of dropping out because it was hard, right? And you know, you go back 7 years ago, I was into the stupidity, deep into it.
A year earlier, I'd asked Shakur if he'd felt he'd made it through the worst of his troubles, and he said no before I could even finish asking. A year later, I didn't ask again, but Shakur volunteered a new answer.
This is like a dream come true. Like, I was telling Tracy the other weekend, like, yo, I made it. I'm not living check to check. I'm not scrambling. I'm not in the worst situations looking over my shoulder. I'm out of the chaos.
Why do black students seem to do better if they've had a black teacher? One theory goes like this. Black teachers, whether consciously or subconsciously, imbue their black pupils with a sense of worth that helps them later in life. Shakur's journey is a testament to that possibility. From his mom, his dad, Coach Taylor, he inherited the idea that he was worth something, and he decided that sowing this sense of worth in others was important.
Teaching fulfills so much for me. Like, I am a very proud black man.
Pride is a source of stubbornness. It's what tells you to block the slide when someone else is telling you to go down. But it's also a source of resilience.
You know, you have to love who you are, because if you don't, nobody will.
You don't make it through 6 months in juvenile detention, 4 colleges, and 2 criminal cases without some pride. Pride is what draws you back to the city that nearly swallowed your parents and tells you that you have the power to fix it.
I love my community. I love my people. And I've always wanted to help my people. And teaching allows me to do that. Teaching allows me to literally mold the future. And I think that I'm here for a purpose, here for a reason to do what I'm doing.
As it so happens, next fall, Shakur Henderson will teach algebra, the same subject Alan Taylor teaches at Williamsport Area High School. And a kid will walk into Shakur Henderson's classroom needing guidance, and Shakur will know what to do. Schooled is produced by WHYY in Philadelphia. This episode was written by Avi Wolfman Aaron. It was edited by me, Kevin McCrory. Charlie Kyer engineered and mixed the sound. Special thanks to Eric Marsh Sr. WHYY's Vice President of News is Sandra Clark. For more on this episode, including beautiful photographs by Kimberly Painter, Matt Smith, and Bastian Slobbers, visit whyy.org/schooled.